My guest at this time is Father Frank Pavone. He's the National Director of Priests for Life and was among the many thousands today who marched along the Washington Mall all the way to the Supreme Court in ongoing protest of the decision that came down 39 years ago yesterday, January 22nd, 1973, in the Roe versus Wade decision that legalized abortion. Father Pavone is here now to talk about the ongoing effort for the pro-life cause and what folks at the march had to say today. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you. I'm speaking to you from right in front of the steps of the Supreme Court now. The march is actually still going on. There are still people coming up Constitution Avenue, and it's a fabulous crowd.
What is the message you're trying to send today?
The message that this whole crowd is giving today to our society is threefold. Number one, no abortion has to happen. There are many people here today, and we honored some of them in the prayer service, the national prayer service that I led this morning in the U.S. Capitol. We honored people who work in the pregnancy center movement, and we're trying to get the message out that everyone who feels she must abort her child can come to us. We'll give them help. We'll give them alternatives. The second message, which is being proclaimed right now here in front of the Supreme Court, is that there is forgiveness and healing after abortion, which hurts women and men alike. There are people here of the Silent No More Awareness campaign, which is an effort of Priests for Life and Anglicans for Life, sharing their testimonies of abortion and the pain and then the forgiveness they found. And the third part of our message, of course, is that we need people in public office who are going to serve the public rather than kill the public and are going to restore protection to the unborn. So there's a very strong message here about this year being an election year and about working to elect pro-life candidates.
What kind of numbers do you think you have out there today, and how does it compare to the other side, if they're there in any way, shape, or form?
Well, I've only seen literally two people from the other side. One of them was standing here in front of the court a little while ago, and the other one was walking by. There's a few hundred thousand here. We'll probably hear some estimates coming up later, but it's as big a crowd as I've ever seen, and I've been coming since 1976.
Talk a little more about what's going on in front of the court this afternoon, which you are sponsoring here with these folks who are talking about the abortions they've had and the regret and the difficulty they've had since. What are some of the more compelling things you've heard from those folks today?
You know, it's a very, 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 very moving thing. We had Julia Holcomb speaking just a few moments ago. Now, many people might know that Steven Tyler, the American Idol judge and former singer for Aerosmith, had aborted his child, and he wrote about it in his book that he regretted that abortion. Well, the mother of that child, the ex-fiancée of Steven Tyler, is Julia Holcomb, and she's here with me today. She's part of the Silent No More campaign, and she gave a moving testimony saying how her abortion was coerced. Many abortions are coerced, and it has nothing to do with the woman's choice, and she talked about how that just tore her apart and devastated her, and how then she found strength and healing in Jesus Christ. We have here Kelly Klinger. Kelly was actually a backup singer for Britney Spears, and Kelly aborted two of her children, and both she and her husband Matt spoke up here today, and it's so powerful to hear from the men, because they say, you know, I just stood by. I should have been a man and protected my child. I just stood by and let it happen, and I suffered that pain as well.
You mentioned your third goal is to elect pro-life candidates. What are you doing to achieve that?
Well, one of the things we've done is to form what we're calling the Vote Pro-Life Coalition. A Priest for Life has been training other groups and other leaders as to what churches and 501c3 tax-exempt organizations can do for elections within the bounds of the law. And so one of those activities that this coalition will sponsor, for instance, are voter registration drives in the churches. So we've designated various Sundays throughout the coming year as voter registration Sundays. And the more people who are going to church whom we can register to vote, the more people overall will vote according to our values, including, of course, the right to life. So I want to invite people to to look at politicalresponsibility.com. That's the special website we set up to give them information about things they can do, ways they can speak up, and ways that they can persuade people that the most important electoral issue really is the right to life, because it's not that there aren't other issues, but all the other issues are important only because life is important. It's at the core of every issue, and if we don't have life, we don't have anything else.
We're talking with Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life. And, sir, I know it's been a busy day for you with your own program going on there at the Supreme Court and the march itself, but there's been a lot of reaction today also, sir, to the written statement from the President of the United States. And here's the part that's getting the attention. Quote, "And as we remember this historic anniversary, we must also continue our efforts to ensure that our daughters have the same rights, freedoms, and opportunities as our sons to fulfill their dreams." His supporters say that that's about equality. His opponents say that that's suggesting that unplanned pregnancies prevent dreams from being fulfilled. How do you interpret that, and how do you react to it?
You know, it's a sad thing for the president to say this, because on the one hand, he's saying, let's give our daughters equality and opportunity, and on the other hand, he's saying, let's let them be killed. This is a self-contradictory position. Doesn't he understand that abortion kills our daughters? There are little baby girls there in the womb being torn apart today by this procedure. Obviously, we want equality and justice for everyone. We want equal opportunity. We believe in the equal dignity of women and the place that they should have in society. The church believes in that, too. But, you know, a week ago today was the Martin Luther King holiday, and Alveda King is here, too. She's the niece of Dr. King, and she's on our staff at Priests for Life. So I was with her and her family at the King National Service in Atlanta, and there the speakers were saying, we got to make sure all our children are fed, and we said amen. And they were all educated, and we said amen. And Alveda and I added, and let's make sure that they all get born, so that we can feed and educate them later. It's all of one piece. We shouldn't try to divide the message of equality and social justice. And my prayer is that the president and all those in public office would realize that.
Last question before we let you go, sir. The public opinion numbers in recent years seem to be trending more in your direction. Where do you think this is headed from a popular opinion perspective?
Well, yes. Well, you're right. Of course, public opinion is growing more and more discontent, more and more uncomfortable with the extent of abortion in our country, the fact that it happens through all 9 months of pregnancy, the fact that there's nothing that takes more human life. There's still 1.2 million abortions a year just in the United States. And I think where this is going is that it will give the momentum to legislative efforts that help to, for example, increase informed consent, let the woman know what she's choosing, increase parental involvement, and increase the regulations on out-of-control abortion clinics. They're very unregulated, and we're trying to bring that under control. And we're also looking at more and more at the late-term abortions. I think we bring about a ban at least on late-term abortions before we ban the entire procedure. And I think public opinion is very much going to make that a reasonable thing to do in the near future.
Father Frank, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it on a very busy day.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to join you. Take care.
Thank you, sir. Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for WorldNet Daily.